Hi, hello everybody. My name is Turk and welcome back to the Grouch Couch. Today, my friends, we are continuing on our Family Survives Together solo Walking Dead Universe RPG series. I believe today is episode 5, and we have some fun things that hopefully we can get into today. The series has been great so far. We still had a lot of positive feedback from you guys and some more comments, which hopefully we're going to be able to get into and add into the story today. So heads up for everyone new that's watching. If you're watching and you're like, oh no, I missed the comment train, have no fear, because I will be taking comments from all of the videos, no matter which one you comment on, and I'll be trying to put them into the series as best that I possibly can, or at least as best as the dice allows us to, right? Because we're telling the story, but sometimes the dice, they are not in our favor. Yeah. Anywho, I would also like to remind you guys that if you would like to pick up Mythic or the Walking Dead Universe RPG, you can use our drive-through RPG link down in the description to help support the show. I mean, if you want to pick up anything over there, you could use our link if you want to. Help support the dang old show. You could also join our Discord if you want to. There's a link on our website and everything else, you know. Subscribe and like, please, to help support the show. Without any further YouTube jibber-jabber, let's get right into our story and talk about where we're at and what the plans are for today. So last we left off, all of you guys already know that we did find Aiden, finally. He's a kid, he's really young, and of course he's Jesse's little brother. The thing is, I thought about creating Aiden as the kid as a character sheet, and I kept thinking about it, and I kept coming into a blockage because I think instead of that, Aiden is going to be an NPC to start. I think that Aiden needs to learn from his brother, and Aiden needs to prove himself to his brother before his brother Jesse will ever let Aiden go out on a run or do anything like that on his own. Aiden needs to prove to his brother that he's good enough, and once that happens, we will create Aiden's character sheet so we can actually use him and utilize him properly. But for now, he's going to be using NPC stats, and he's just going to be trying to survive with his brother. So, it's still blank. We have it, but it's blank. All right, secondly, the goal for today. We need to find a haven. So this book, the Walking Dead Universe book, has a lot of really cool rules surrounding havens, which basically is your home base, the place that you survive, the place that you stay. We even have an actual sheet for the haven to be able to put all the stats in here, everything that we have, and everything else like that. It's really based around this. So it's come to the point where we have our party. We're assembled, we're together, but we need to find a place to live and thrive and grow. Hopefully, we can eventually follow Torka's backstory and go after the Yaw faction and get rid of them because he is not fond of them. When we last left off, we were inside of the gated and walled trailer park. I was also thinking a lot too, and I was like, well, why can't we just stay in the trailer park home? It's got walls, you know? It's Jesse's home. He's familiar with it. But then I started thinking that means that we have to clean out every single one of these houses. All the trailers need to be cleaned out. Jesse also has to deal with his mom, which he isn't ready to do. We ended the last episode that way. They would think and discuss together is that they need to get more people. Once they get more people and they have enough manpower, they can come back to this trailer park area and clean the whole place out with more people. They could do a big old sweep of it, and then all the people that they've gathered will each have their own homes at that point, which could be, you know, a really nice thing for everyone to have a nice little home to shack up in. But for now, we don't have enough people. We don't have enough manpower. So we got to put a pin in this place. So now we're headed off. We're going to gather up all of our belongings. I don't even think we're going to search and scavenge very much. Yeah, because we know that this place is full of zombies, right? None of them have been cleaned out yet. There's probably at least 30 trailer park homes here. And if each family was in there and passed away at one point or another, zombies that got stuck in here or whatever, I mean, we're talking a horde that could potentially be inside of this area, which we'll roll for eventually when we come back. But that means we need to not make much noise, which means no scavenging. We just need to bounce. And at this point, I'm not going to do a whole playthrough of us getting back to our cars and, you know, searching for, you know, trying to get there and stuff, because we've kind of been through the city. We know that the city is completely flooded, right? And it's full of zombies. It's disgusting in the main part of the city. I picture there's a main street and then there's like an outer limits, right? This is like a big town. And I want to know if Jesse has any ideas of where a nice place might be for them, because this is his hometown, right? He's been here before, and he might, back in his old days when he was, you know, running drugs and doing car races, they might have had like a warehouse or something along those lines, or maybe even somewhere that he just went past. So we're actually going to do a fake question. Does Jesse know of a good place to start? This is our first roll of the day, so make it good to chat. No, 76. He has got no idea. He's like, no, look, guys, I know I grew up here, but I don't know. I don't know where we could start. So then what we're going to do is we're just going to go back to our cars, and we're going to use our cars to navigate around the city. On the way to the cars, the only thing that I want to know is, how did Aiden take being out in the world? I mean, he's been in the treehouse up high, so he's seen all this stuff going down, but now that he's in it, I want to know if he took it well. Since he was up in the treehouse, I'm gonna call it pretty likely. Did he take being out in the world well? Yes. Okay, good deal. So Aiden's doing okay. He's following along with his brother. He's with everybody now. There's a dog here. He's pretty excited about it. And a picture of the party knows the safe way back. Now that they got through all this, they know that they can just go back to the building, go up on top of it, you know, go across it. They know what they can do. So now that we've reached back to our cars, the issue before and the reason we couldn't bring our cars with us was because there's blockages, there's zombies, and there's sewage on the roads. As Jesse, he's going to lead the pack in his car, and we're going to drive out of this main street area to the outskirts of the town, because I do want to stay in this town. I think Jesse knows enough about this town that he knows where we could go and scavenge. He knows where things might be located. And also, if we run into anybody, he might still have some connections with them for trading and other kinds of stuff like that. He was fairly known in his hometown, whether that be for good or for bad. We'll have to figure that out later. Oh, and I just thought about for good or for bad. Like, how much does Aiden know about? There was a comment and someone asked, like, how much does Aiden know about Jesse's, you know, back part in his life? And I want to say, I don't think he knows very much. He knows that his brother was gone a lot, and he knows that his brother was sending money back to help support the family. I think that's all Aiden really knows. If that answers your question. In his description, growing up is into bad stuff. I hope my little brother never finds out what I did. And what exactly he did, we don't know. And we talked about how he won't kill another human being. So I believe possibly in Jesse's past, he killed someone. Okay, we're going to make this a big rant. Can you tell how much I'm enjoying this story? I hope you can. So, by the way, I was reading through Mythic and reading through Walking Dead stuff, and I am for sure playing all of this way different than maybe you probably should, but I'm having fun and you're having fun. So we're going to make a mobility check. Now, Jesse has a talent, if we remember, called Speed Freak. I get a +2 to mobility when we drive a vehicle, which means we actually use talent or pool. Speed Freak. We actually have a dice pool of 9 here. One success to get through all these zombies with the cars unscathed. And he's going to lead Torka in his car while Torka falls behind in the van. 0 successes, my lord. Oh, and you know what I didn't do? Before we do the first skill check, we also need to see if there was a scene alteration. Because we're starting a brand new scene here. We're in the cars. We're about to drive somewhere. So was there a scene alteration? The scene was interrupted. Interruption event, ambiguous event, imprison lies. So I literally pulled up the Mythic PDF here, which is really helpful to have, to look up ambiguous and whatever they meaning by that. And an ambiguous event, however, is purposefully vague. It's something that happens which is neither harmful nor helpful, at least not initially. It says perhaps the ambiguous event is a new element in your adventure that doesn't make sense now but might make sense later. Imprison lies. An ambiguous event. So what if they're in the cars and Jesse gets distracted because Aiden is talking a little bit. He's a little shaken up. He's doing fairly well, but he's just, you know, they're just talking and he's like trying to get through. And I think Jesse's like, hold on, Aiden, I need you to be quiet right now. And I think Aiden says something Then Jesse goes like, what? I think he's going to say something to do with... He's like, I love this car, Jesse. This is such a cool car. You've had this car for so long. It's so cool that you had this car. You know, one time, like, before, you know, this, yeah, one time, mom, like, gave me the phone. And when she handed me the phone, it was like... Dad and dad was in prison, and he said all this really nice stuff about how well he's doing. I think when Aiden says something about their father being in jail, Jesse goes, what? And like scratches all up against the side of the thing. Because we have no idea where Jesse's dad is. We didn't even, like, we haven't really talked about that at all. All we know is that Jesse's dad has been gone. And so the idea of their dad being in prison is kind of crazy, because then it's like, well, is his dad still alive? Where is this prison located? And so Jesse looks back at Aiden. He's like, we're going to have to talk more later, me and you, about that. We're going to add it to our threads list. All right. And so our car here has 2 maneuverability, 4 hull, and 4 armor. And so we're actually going to take down the armor by 2. It's got 2 armor left. Not looking good there. It's going to take all damage up the side, which is going to get Jesse a little bit flustered as it scratches up the side of this thing, because he loves this car. And he's like, we're going to drive over the bridge in town. And picture there's a big old river that runs around this town. And we're going to drive over the bridge, navigating for a little while until we get to the other side of the bridge. And there's going to be some buildings on the outskirts of town. And I'm going to roll on the ruins chart to see what one of those buildings or places might be. And then we'll see if we want to stop there or not, or keep moving. So this is also going to kind of build the surrounding area. Even if we don't decide to stay there and make it our haven, we'll still know what our neighbors kind of look like. So here's our first roll on the ruins as we're driving. We've got... 1, an abandoned haven with a flag hanging from the roof. For some reason, most of the walkers inside are wearing pink jumpsuits. What? It's an abandoned haven. But what kind of haven? I don't know. Okay, what's next door to it? I want to see what the next roll might give us to see if this, we're even on the right path here. A zoo. Someone fed the animals for a while, but now they are dead or starving. So we've got an abandoned haven next to a zoo. I mean, a zoo itself is kind of cool, but how do you... You got to clean all those animals out and... Walkers with pink jumpsuits. Why would they be wearing pink jumpsuits? Okay, this is kind of morbid, but next to the zoo, they're all wearing pink jumpsuits because it was a butcher shop. And it was called, like, Porky's Butcher Shop. And their uniforms were pink jumpsuits for them to wear while they were butchering. A little bit morbid to have a butcher shop right next to a zoo. But that's kind of what we're looking at. And I feel like we pull up to it, and there's no way Torque is going to have any bit of this. Torque puts his hand out the window to Jesse and gives a big old thumbs down. He's like, nah, nah. He's like, all right. That's fair. Let's go up the street a little ways to see what we find down the road on the other side here. There are several walkers chained to a pole like dogs with leads. Somebody's protecting something. Could be their own little place, you know, like if there's like a house behind it. There's like a big telephone pole with a bunch of walkers chained to it. And behind the telephone pole, there's like a house. It's like gated off, and they're using the walkers as like a diversion. I think Jesse and Cece would look at it, and they'd both give each other the stink eye, and they'd be like, someone might be living there. All right, come on. Give me something cool here. What do we got? An overgrown park with a huge playground. There's a pack of wild dogs that hunts there. Cool. A playground is fun. Playground's very fun. If we were neighbors to it in some kind of nice thing. We are neighbors, industrial area. Warning signs to not come here. There's an industrial area next to a playground. And there's a butcher shop next to a zoo. What is this city?
Good lord.
Okay. Okay, so basically what we're learning is this city is crazy. But what we're going to do is we're going to roll one more set, and then we're going to have to pick. And we're going to go back, and we're going to clear things out. We're going to look at things. We're going to roll some survival checks. So we're going to go around the street, maybe to the edge here, where there's like another bridge, maybe going over the river. So there's like two bridges, and maybe we're going to roll one more time. Nice little set here just to see what we've got. A mall. The doors on the bottom floors are blocked from the inside. From the inside. What does that mean? Does it mean there's someone in there? A mall's cool, though, because a mall means that on this little strip here, we can come back and we can scavenge if we need to. All right. What is next to said mall? An empty church. The inside walls are covered by spray-painted words about God abandoning us. Okay. An empty church is pretty good. First of all, that means that there's a parking lot. So we're going to pull the cars into the parking lot. We're going to stop. Is there any kind of walkers here in the parking lot? Let's roll threat level. Here we go. 3, which means 0. So there are no zombies here. Very good. We all stop. We get out of our cars. We start talking. Jesse's like, so we got a few options. There was the park right next to the industrial zone. And we've got this church here. And he's like, look, I don't know who's taking care of those animals, though, man. And once we get settled here, dude, I might venture into the zoo and see if I can take care of them. You know, see what I can do about that. I mean, it's, you know, only a couple minute drive away. All right, look, just be careful, okay? And we'll talk about that later.
I say that we do the church. It's got 2 floors, which means that I can use the top of the church for a nice antenna once we get one. We're also close by the mall, so we can do sneak-in runs to the mall to get food and clothes and whatever we might need. I mean, it's huge. We've got everything we need right there.
He's like, all right. He kneels down to Aiden, and he's like, hold on. Did Jesse come to this church when he was younger with Aiden? Maybe his mom? I picture his mom was like at one point like, why is the music yelling at me? Picture his mom at one point was like probably going to like Alcoholics Anonymous or something. And they probably, you know, did their meetings here at this church or something. And so she probably went to this church a lot. So he probably knows a lot about this church, but that's just, I'm assuming. Is that true? Let's ask the fate. Yes. Okay. Yeah, little bro. Remember we used to come here with mom all the time? Well, you know, you used to play around. This is our new home.
He's like, ah. I hate it here.
He's like, I know. A lot of, you know, not a lot of fun here, huh? But we're going to make it fun. Let's go inside, everybody. Let's see what we can put together.
We're going to get a description of this haven. And we are going to build our haven character sheet. Finally. I guess we're going to be living in the church, which I don't hate. I don't hate the idea of that. Nice, strong, thick brick walls. So we have capacity and we have defense.
All right, so we're going to start from the top here. What does it look like? Obviously, it's a church. It's going to be a 2-story church. I imagine it goes straight up, and the second story is like, you know, has those slanted roof walls. And I picture you can get up there. Maybe there's like a bell up there. Is there a bell up there? Fake question. Is there a bell on this church? Is there a bell on this church? Yes. So there's a bell tower on this church, which also means people can go up there and be lookouts. So they can see, they can look around what surrounds the haven. Well, we have a parking lot. I'm sure there's a small, you know, like a gated fence. It's not great, but there is like a gate. Out front, there's probably some trees. There were probably used to be really nicely landscaped, but no longer are. I'm also wondering if this is one of those churches that has like a, you know, just a little play area for the kids out back with maybe like a sandbox and like some swings or something. Does it have a play area? Fake question. Unsure. No, there's no play area here. Okay. All right. Moving on. Capacity. But we're going to do some scavenging in here once we describe it. And there might be a stockpile of canned foods. Maybe we'll do a fake question on that because, you know, people donate canned foods to churches and stuff. We may have that going for us, so that might get us started. But for now, I'm going to say we have some water nearby
and we might be able to get some canned food. So we're going to have a capacity of one. Defense ratings to measure how safe your haven is. A haven's defense rating is also used to measure how big a swarm of walkers needs to be to break down your walls and get in. For now, we've got a defense of one is like a tent with an alarm system. A defense of two is a wooden fence around a farm with a lookout. And a defense of three is a house reinforced by sturdy doors, blocked with windows, a fence, and a reinforced gate. And I think we're going to go with three because we definitely don't have high walls of stone. So we got a capacity of one and a defense of three, which means we can have up to 10 people without people crazy starving and stuff like that. Okay, so we have some haven issues. Let me see. That is a 62. The entrance is hard to reinforce and guard. There's an issue with the doors. I would like to just say maybe the doors are old and decrepit. And as we go to like open them, they kind of like crumbling and fall apart. There's like wooden planks and like holes in the doors that are all falling apart. So our front doors aren't looking good. So, do we have running water? We definitely don't have running water, so that's another issue. Okay, let's set the scene here. We've got the basics, but we need to know what this place looks like on the inside. We need to know what they see as they enter. So we're scene setting. Is Jesse, Cece, Torka, and Aiden, and Poochie approach the old chapel? The building looms before them. Its once pristine white paint is now faded and peeling. The bell tower stands tall. The rusted frame of the bell is silhouetted against the light of the sky as they walk and look up. The cracked parking lot, of course, is probably still littered with debris. There are probably a few abandoned cars and glass and weeds bursting through the pavement. The doors of the chapel, broken, sling, hang slightly ajar, swaying in the cold wind, revealing only darkness within. Inside, they step in and open the door. The air is thick with dust, lingering scent of mildew and decay. The wooden pews are overturned, some probably shattered into splinters, others burned, blackened with soot from vandalism. At the front of the chapel, sure that the pulpit has probably been defaced with graffiti. It's all scrawled across its surface, dripping in red and blue paint. The words, "God is dead," probably stretch across the altar wall. There's probably other messages too, like "no salvation," "he never answered," "faith is a lie." All painted. I'm sure some of the windows are probably cracked and shattered, allowing streaks of the dying sunlight to kind of filter through the jagged edges. Candles, long since burnt out, sit on the altar, surrounded by books and pages and remnants of... might have been a camp before. Someone might have tried to camp here. If there's graffiti, then someone was probably camping here. So there's probably also tattered blankets, makeshift bedding, strewn in the corners, evidence, you know, of past survivors who once sought refuge here. As they stand there and they listen, the question lingers. Was this place abandoned, or did something die inside? Or actually, let's do a fake question, because threat table might give me a swarm, and there wouldn't be a swarm in here. But I'm going to call it likely. Did the other people die in here? Likely. Exceptional, yes. What would an exceptional mean on that? Exceptional, yes. It means they died recently, which means one of them might still be alive and bleeding out. So as we step inside, we hear the gurgling noises of someone calling out for help. And Jesse steps forward further into the church, his axe drawn, looking around. He looks down at his feet on the side in the corner, huddled up in some blankets. There's a man who has been bitten and is now bleeding out. And I'm not even going to ask a question here because I just think this is a good friggin' storytelling. As he looks down at the man, he hears a footstep as he turns behind him to see a woman, maybe his wife, a full-on zombie. The man couldn't bring himself to kill her. But we also have some, weirdly enough, Walker past descriptions. And I'm going to roll on that so we can get some descriptions of her. She was a kindergarten teacher. Oh. So she's in like a kindergarten dress that's all ripped and messed up. She's got like glasses that are all crooked and cracked on her face. And the man on the ground, I'm sure, just points at her and he goes, "I couldn't do it, man. I couldn't do it." And so sad, Jesse squeezes his axe tighter. And he goes, "I got you, man. I know." And he's going to roll to hit. Close combat. Small axe bonus of 2. Oh. He got 0 successes. Oh, no. All these rolls are player facing, which means he fails, which means that the walker now attacks. Let's see. Oh, fucking what? Oh, my gosh. Okay, so Jesse is broken, and he also suffers a critical injury. New critical injury. Yeah, it's not lethal, but his arm is broken. Yeah, it's going to take weeks to heal. Our boy Jesse's got a broken arm, so he says, "I got you, bro." And then he turns to attack this walker, and he swings his axe nonchalantly, and as his axe is out, the kindergarten teacher swings her arms around and somehow breaks his arm, his forearm, while he's holding out the axe. He falls down. If he's going to try to use his axe, he's going to lose dice, other kinds of stuff like that. But currently, now that he's broken, it means he can't do anything but basically talk. So that means that someone else is going to have to step up and help. And all right, so Torka still has one stress, but he's going to try to take this thing out, I guess. Hopefully, he could take it out too. Hopefully. This thing is like a boss. Okay, 2 successes. Thank goodness. Because if then Torka goes down, oh man, that is it. He stabs the thing with his spear, and Jesse goes down to the ground, and he's all holding it. And Torka steps up, and he's like, "Are you okay?" And as he says that to Jesse, Jesse nods as he's holding his arm, like wincing. And the other guy who's bitten is like crawling on the ground to his wife. And he's like, "I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry I couldn't do it. I'm so sorry." And he leans back up against the pew and he's just like looking at her. And Cece walks over to him while Torka's tending to him. And Cece looks down and she says, "Now, I don't mean to alarm you, sir, but it seems that your face is flustered. You're sweating. It won't be long before you turn to." And he goes, "I know. I know. Just look. Promise me. Promise me that you'll bury us both together. Out in the back. Bury us next to each other, at least. Please." And Cece's like, "Sure thing, sir. But this means one of us is going to have to end your life before you turn. You understand?" He's like, "Yeah, it hurts. Just make it quick." And he reaches out and he grabs her hand. The woman's hand, not Cece's hand. And he's like, "Make it quick." She's like, "Very well." And I'm sure Torka stands up and he's like, "Well, hold on now. What's your name, man? So we can like maybe put it on the headstone or something, man." And hey, first comment of a name in the comment section, we will put that name on that headstone. First comment of a name. And Torka goes, "All right." It could be 2 names too, male and female. He's like, "All right. rest easy, man. And he looks at Cece and he's like, together? She's like, sure. It makes more sense. It would be easier that way. And they both hold out their weapons and say goodbye to him as they plunge them deep into his skull. And he releases her hand. Goodness. What a dramatic scene. Before we move on to what happens next, recovery. PC naturally recovers 1 point of health each day, as long as they're able to. It's going to take Jesse some time to heal up that arm, but he's kind of out, and I'm sure by this time he's talking to Aiden, telling him that he's fine and everything's going to be okay. And does anybody... We're going to look through inventory. Only the food, the snacks and things that we picked up. So we've got some rations here still. We've got 5. So he'll be fine for at least 5 days. But I want to see basic medical gear is what Cece has. So Cece is actually going to try to make a medicine roll on him to snap his arm back in place and put him in a sling so it'll heal faster. And so he can still use his other hand and, you know what I mean, at least do things that don't involve both arms. So she's going to try to make a medicine roll using her basic medical gear, which gives her another plus. Oh, she still has a stress die too. Oh, no. Okay, here we go. Thank goodness. The stress die is a 2. 2 successes. Beautiful. So this is actually going to help his healing go by faster. But he himself is going to take a point of stress because that's what happens whenever you get broken. Puts him back at 1. We get to make some scavenging checks. Everybody's gonna walk around here and scavenge. Is there some kind of a break room, preparation room for food, for like the wine and the crackers that they do, some kind of like a fridge and a microwave or even a stove, anything like that? Is there some kind of food preparation room here? 50-50. No. Okay. Nice. That's great. Do any of the back rooms have beds in them? Exceptional no. There's no beds here. There isn't even chairs, because there's an exceptional no. There's no chairs. There's no beds. Okay, that's fine. We're going to have to make some beds. We know there's an upstairs. But is there even any back rooms? Yes. Cool. I'm assuming one of them is at least like a kid's room where they do like youth groups, you know what I mean? Another one's probably like an office where the pastor does all of his stuff. I'm sure the third one's probably like a storage room with musical equipment in it. If we're talking about a chapel, you know, for like worship or whatever. I'm sure another one might be like a library just with all kinds of scriptures and books and things. But we're going to call it 4 rooms, and those are the 4 rooms that we're going to have. All right? So we're going to go through these 4 rooms. And we're going to scavenge before we even bury the dead. Before we even bury the dead, we're scavenging. Everybody's scavenging, which means survival checks. Yay. So we're going to see what we can find in here so we can gather everything up together. You cannot roll in broken. So Jesse can't roll. He's leaning up against the wall with his broken arm, just talking with Aiden, while Cece and Torka scavenge the rooms, which means they'll both do 2 checks. They'll both take a room and scavenge. Cece's going to do the office. She got 1 success. Heck yeah. So we'll roll on the scavenge chart for that. Scavenging. Roll. What do you find in there? A sports bag filled with potatoes and carrots. 3 rations. Sick. Okay. There wasn't a... For some reason, they were hoarding potatoes in the office. That's fine. We're going to do another survival check for the library room with all the extra books and scriptures and stuff. She doesn't find anything in there. She gets her own scavenging. Okay, Torka is going to check out the youth group room. You got 1 success. That's what I'm talking about. What do you find in there, Torka? Pickled cucumbers. In the youth group room? Okay. That's another ration for us. Very cool. Jeez. Last room is going to be like the storage room, okay, where there is like band equipment and also like boxes and barrels and other kinds of stuff We're going to let him roll twice. Nothing. And then the other side of the room. One success, but we messed up. Oh no. Oh no. One success, but we messed up. So let's see what we find in here, and then we'll see how we messed up. You find a funny hat. Very good for you, Torka. He comes out with a funny hat on. He's like, hey, look, guys. I got me a cool funny hat. But he messed up. So how about this? Because of the dice rolls, we're going to say that he got distracted by the funny hat and grabbed the funny hat instead of finding something that would have actually been useful in there. Like the fact that there's musical equipment in there, and CC might have been able to use that tech to help us with like microphones and other kinds of stuff to be able to talk to people. But he didn't even think about that. So he just grabbed the funny hat and shut the door. And all that stuff's in there now, but no one else knows about it except Torka. But he comes out with a funny hat on that's got a big old feather on it, and everyone giggles a little bit because Torka's wearing a funny hat. And it's kind of a light moment for what they just kind of went through. It cheers everyone up a little bit. They all kind of giggle a little bit. Very nice. Which I think that to me would actually remove stress from at least Cece and Torka. Very good. I need to count up all the rations. These guys are probably going to spend some time cleaning up the rooms and checking out exactly everything that they have. And we're going to put it all on the Haven chart, which is really cool. And I kind of want to spend time with the Haven chart. I want to be able to actually type everything out and put in all the characters and start thinking about projects that these guys can do. If you guys have ideas for projects, they could literally be anything from like an electric fence to like, you know, of course, we're going to be working on the communications, but it could be anything. Obviously, they're going to need to build some beds, or we're going to need to steal some from like the mall or something, put them into Torka's van. That might work. Might be our first run, actually. We get to go on NPC runs, not NPC, just on runs to be able to get equipment and other kinds of stuff for the Haven now, to start building it up to make it livable is kind of the goal. And it sounds like next time around it's going to be CC and Torka together, and now that we're here we have all of our stats and everything, things might start getting fun. Yes, also every day I think we roll on a chart to see if the Haven is okay or if anything happened, like if we have any extra visitors, if anyone shows up, or if anything else like that happens. So that's also going to kind of be a little bit exciting. So we will get into that, of course, next time around. I've already been recording for over an hour and a half. I don't know how that happened. I don't know how long this video is going to be. We'll try to edit it down so it's consumable for you guys. Hey, if you want me to do longer unedited episodes, please do let me know. But anywho, that's what we're going to leave today's episode. All right, there was a suggestion from Milk Mafia for a really interesting NPC, a metalwork teacher who welded things together. And I love the idea of adding that NPC to our Haven and have him help us build stuff and make cool metalworking stuff. So we'll see if next time around the dice will actually let us get to that. Now that we're here and we're at our Haven, I feel like we can start expanding and adding more NPCs and trying to meet these other characters. So hopefully that happens. I think we've answered most of the comments, I think. I hope so. Oh, got an NPC idea. Jamie Thornton, a prisoner who's doing community service in the World Ended. That could be very fun. Absolutely, because then it's like, what's going on with that guy? Is he gonna, you know, maybe Jamie Thornton could be friends with Jesse's dad later. That could be very exciting. Okay, anyways, I could go on for a long time, and I don't want this video to be 2 hours. Please do leave comments for ideas and get involved in the story. If you want to ask me more questions and actually talk to me and stuff, please do join the Discord. There's a link on our website. Check that out down there. And yeah, thank you guys so much. Please like and subscribe. If you've made it this far in the series and you haven't subscribed already, what is going on? So make sure to subscribe and hit the like button so I know this is doing well. Also, I usually do series in sets of five, and then I let them sit for a little bit, and then I come back and do another set of five. But if this series does get enough likes, I think if episode one gets 100 likes or hits 2,000 views, I'll come back sooner. All right, so make sure to share the series with your friends and get it up there on them likes if you want me to see me do more faster. And yeah, I work a 9-to-5 like everyone else. Anyways, I appreciate y'all and thank you so much. I have been Turk. Take a seat on the couch, my friends. Roll initiative. Until next time, I'll see you later.